Welcome to the Daily Dad Podcast, where we provide one lesson every single day to help you with your most important job, being a parent. I'm Ryan Holiday, and I draw these lessons from ancient philosophy, modern psychology, practical wisdom, and insights from parents just like you all over the world. Thank you for listening, and we hope this helps. Either right when we get back from a run in the morning, or more often when I get back from riding for the day, I walk into the kitchen, I open up the cabinet, and I say, it's vitamin time, and my youngest runs over, he's two, and I give him one high of vitamin in one hand and another high of vitamin in the other hand, and he eats it, and then he rushes over and he gives the other one to his brother, a pediatrician-approved superpower chewable vitamin created by two dads tired of children's vitamins that cause more problems than they solve. It's made from a 12 farm fresh fruit and vegetable mix, supercharged 15 essential vitamins and minerals known to support a healthy immune system. And we've worked out an exclusive offer with Hiya for their best selling children's vitamin. Daily Dad listeners receive 50% off your first order. And to claim this deal, go to HiyaHealth.com/DailyDad and enter code DailyDad at checkout. That's HiyaHealth.com/DailyDad to get your kids the full body nourishment that they need to grow into healthy adults. Discount is applied at checkout. You're listening to the Daily Dad Podcast. Sometimes on the weekends, we bring you extended meditations on parenting issues. Sometimes I bring on my friend and writing partner, Niels Parker, also the father of one young kid. And we kick around some parenting topics or things that we were thinking about. Ordinarily, we'd probably just do this on the phone with each other. And instead, we're going to do it on the podcast. Niels, I was thinking about sleep. Are you out of the woods yet? Or are you still deep in it?
I am deep in it. He's 20 months old, and we are going through the sleep training process. It's up and down, good days and bad days. We're getting there. He's pretty good. But the struggle really now is it's less sleep training him and more sleep training ourselves. Like,
right.
how do we find with the obligations of a kid who normally, with little kids who wake up early, and then just the normal demands of adulthood and work and dogs and things like that that extend into the evening, how do you find 8 hours of sleep or even 7 hours of sleep? That's where we're really struggling.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is and I think it pertains to not just parents of young kids, but the sort of stoic idea of like, control what you control or focus on what you control, right? And so obviously you're trying to sleep train the kid. And for both of our kids, Jones did a little better, but Clark, I don't know, I'm sure it was our fault, but he did not sleep at all. Like he did not sleep like consistently throughout the night for like the first 2.5 years. So it was like a brutal ultra marathon of sleep deprivation in that sense, or sleep disruption in that sense. Mm-hmm. But if you take it as for granted that you don't control how your kid sleeps, like you don't control if they wake up in the middle of the night, you don't control if they're sick. Obviously, you're trying to influence their sleep patterns, but you don't control them. A lot of parents sort of throw up their hands at that, but like then if you were like, well, what's your sleep pattern like? And they're like, well, you know, we finally get the kid down, then we watch Netflix for 2 hours, then I'm on my phone in bed. And it's like, sure, your kid is waking you up in the middle of the night and also waking up at 5 a.m., but you stole 3 hours of sleep from yourself for very little benefit that you could address right now without even trying anything with your kid.
Yeah. And there's this weird impulse, and I feel it happening to myself, even knowing everything that you're just saying about, you know, you control what you can control. And it's, you know, it's like tonight is a perfect example. We're recording this on a Friday, and though the Warriors are playing on ESPN, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm currently living in Wisconsin. That game starts at 9:30. Like,
right.
I could watch that game. but I'd be killing myself the following day. And so as a grown man who's in his early 40s, I have to tell myself, you have to go to bed at 9 o'clock or whatever it is. You cannot.
You have to give yourself a bedtime, which it's weird. It's like, it's weird, but it also makes perfect sense. It's like you're trying to enforce sleep discipline, as they call it in the military, on your kids. And then you're like, but me, I'm an adult. I just do whatever the hell I want. And it's like, well, why don't you just model some good sleeping behavior, even if they're not awake to witness any of it? Like, oh, it turns out it actually is like kind of hard to go to bed at a certain time when there's stuff you want to do and the life is interesting. It's like, no, you actually, it requires a certain amount of willpower to get your ass up off the couch, plug your phone in the kitchen counter, not in your bedroom, yep, and then go to bed.
Yeah. And not let yourself, like, my wife has a problem where she gets to bed at a normal time, except it's on the sofa. Like, oh, sure. She falls asleep at 8:30 and then she wakes up at 1:30 and goes to bed. It's like that. It's just the different
flavor. You had 3 hours of mediocre sleep first.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. And then not only are you stealing those hours of sleep away from yourself, but then it's, you know, the trickle down of that is just brutal. And it's undeniable. Like, you can try and caffeinate your way through it to be conscious and effective for some part of the day for 1 or 2 days in a row, but by day 3 or 4, like, you're, when you're this age, it's going to smack you in the face, and everything gets diminished as a result of that.
Right. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. When you're not taking care of your own sleep, you're not just stealing that sleep from yourself and your own health, but you're stealing it from the patience and funness and presentness that you owe your kids the following morning, afternoon, and night. Like, why is dad such a jerk? It's because dad is running on 4 hours of sleep, but he could have had six. Like, he was never going to get 8, but 6 was very much doable, and he chose not to do it.
Yeah, and I've actually seen this happen. I've seen this play out. Like, we're taking Will, he's to this little like soccer school every Sunday morning, just to teach him how to, like, you know, follow commands and kick the ball and all that sort of stuff. And it's 9 a.m. and you'll see a handful of parents and dads especially who are just as impatient as you could possibly be when it comes to, like, following the coach's directions, and that with kids who are 20 months old, like, they're not going to be Pele or Ronaldo or a Marine sergeant who follows all the rules. Like, you gotta chill out. And you can see the fatigue in their face that is just dragging them down.
Yeah, when we should do something on sports too. Let's do another one on sports. But I agree. It's like, having kids is stressful enough. Doing whatever you do professionally is stressful enough. Driving is stressful and perilous enough. Yeah. The idea that you're going to do that on unnecessarily limited sleep is selfish and stupid and irresponsible. And that's where, you know, it requires the discipline, not just to get off the couch and go to bed, but, like, my wife and I, maybe we do finally get in bed at 10 or whatever. And then in the morning, she's like, oh, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, but we went to bed at 10. And she's like, oh, well, I was up on my phone for an hour and a half. And it's like, okay. Like, I have sympathy for the fact that you're tired, but I know also exclusively where the blame in this specific case lies.
Yeah. And we're very good at rationalizing those choices. It's like, I was in bed at 10. It's like, right. I was at work at 8. Yeah, but you were screwing around for 2.5 hours. You didn't get the work done. Like,
yeah, my rule is my phone, like, just doesn't really enter the bedroom. We plug it in. I plug it in when I go in to, like, go to bed in a room other than the bedroom. I find this, it's one, it's so I don't use it, but two, also, like, there's no, I used to have an alarm clock. I got one at the beginning of the pandemic, but I think the kids broke it or something. But the point is, when I do have to set an alarm for something, there's no snooze button bullshit. Cause, like, my feet had to touch the ground and walk into another room to turn off the horrible noise.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. When Clark was sort of going through sleep hell. Did you guys have a strategy for getting the sleep that you needed? I mean, I imagine one of you had to be up at various points.
Yeah, it was definitely more Samantha than myself. We sort of had an arrangement where she would do most of the nighttime ones. And then like I would take the kids in the morning and she would get like, so an hour, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, more often than not an hour. But like even this morning, now Clark turned five this week. I took them for an hour and a half this morning while she slept, which isn't it's not a perfect system, but like, that's the idea. Instead of us both being exhausted, like alternating wake ups, it's like, okay, this is sort of the plan we worked out. But cause my wife can go back to, I have trouble going back to sleep. So I think it's also just thinking about like, you know, like what do your bodies need? What are your personalities aligned? My wife can go back to sleep really easily. Like I can't, like when I get up, I'm done. So it's like, if the kids woke up at four, like, I'm up at four, right? Like I'm not going back to bed. Where my wife could go back to sleep at 9:30 a.m. and sleep for however many hours she missed.
Yeah, that's sort of what we do as well. If once my feet touch the floor, once I do anything, I'm up for the duration, and she can go right back to sleep and sleep for 2.5 hours. So
that's another reason not to have the phone in the room too. Is it's like, oh, you get up to go to the bathroom and you're like, oh, what's that? What's that light? You know, and then you check it, and then all of a sudden you're like pissed off about this or that, like some piece of news that doesn't change whether you get it at 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. Does change whether it occupies your subconscious as you're trying to drift off into sleep.
Yeah, I have made a conscious effort to not only keep the phone out of the room, but if I've ever sort of needed it because I was waiting for a call from or a notification from a family member about something, I have not had notifications on my phone for years now. Like the last thing, it's enough of a time suck, and it's enough of like it traps you, like you know, like the Narcissus pond. But you don't need them.
The preview of the shitty news
light at you constantly.
Yeah, the preview of the shitty news.
Yeah. you've got a notification about something that's going to piss you off.
I was really excited to try Storyworth. Storyworth is an online service that helps you and your loved ones preserve precious memories and stories for years to come. Every week, Storyworth emails your relative or friend a thought-provoking question from their vast pool of options. And then you answer these prompts like, what was the bravest thing you've ever done? How did you meet so-and-so? My wife did this for me for Father's Day 1 year. After 1 year, Storyworth compiles all your loved ones' stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I think for the holiday season, you want to give a gift that makes people feel special and unique, but also it's more than like a one-time thing. You interact with it every week for a year. So it really is a special present. And that's why I think you should give people Storyworth. And with Storyworth, you're giving a thoughtful, personal gift from the heart, preserving their memories and stories for years to come. Go to storyworth.com/dailydad to save $10 on your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/dailydad. Save $10 on your first purchase. I've been a runner for a really long time, as you know, but one of the best changes and investments I made a couple years ago was the decision to get into cycling. You know, bikes are not one size fits all, and when you want the ultimate personalized bike shop experience, talk to the experts at competitivecyclist.com. They're the online specialty retailer of road and mountain bikes, components, apparel, accessories, trailers, everything you could possibly need. Plus, they're gearheads, equal parts, customer service, and cycling fanatics. They can answer your questions about anything. They're former pro athletes, Olympians, seasoned cyclists with years of experience. Right now, just go to competitivecyclist.com/dailydad. Enter promo code DAILYDAD to get 15% off your first full price purchase, plus free shipping on orders of $50 or more. Some exclusions apply. Go right now, get 15% off plus free shipping at competitivecyclist.com/dailydad. Enter promo code DAILYDAD. I mean, there's emails, like people in my life, unfortunately, who like their name and the first five words of the email is enough. You know, like that's enough to be like, not going back to sleep after I saw that. So like, yeah. I have to like deprive myself of it. I had two thoughts on sort of sleep that, again, I think pertain to all ages. But number one was, this is a little more specific, but it was like, as we were really struggling with it, and my wife is sort of at the end of a rope, and I was like, it was not working, whatever thing we were trying. And we did this right before the pandemic. It was like, you know, there are experts who do this, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think we paid like $1,500, which is not nothing, but like considering what it was worth to us to not die of sleep deprivation, it was like very affordable. Yeah. Like we had like a sleep training coach come in, and she like sort of put together a plan and like kind of took over for it like two nights or whatever. And like, it was kind of, I don't think she really told us anything that we didn't know. It's kind of like a personal trainer. It's the accountability and it's the process, you know, and the handing over of some of the ownership of it to someone else until you can sort it, you know what it was? It was like a reset, right? It was like,
totally.
Boom. Okay. We've been trying it our way and we don't know what to do differently. Even if this other person is having us do what we are already doing, we're going to be doing it in a different way. And that was like a huge breakthrough for us. And so I wish we'd done that. We did that with Jones. I wish we'd done that with my oldest Clark earlier. And it was not just worth every penny. It would have been worth 20 times as much.
It's a $4. If you look at it across what it does you just for the year, it's like $4.50 a day to save yourself. We just actually brought in a sleep training person last week. She's a former nurse, and it's sort of like what you were saying. She wasn't. There was no epiphanies. Like she didn't sort of break news to us about what the importance of sleep. She was just like, the day needs to start here. It needs to end here, and you need to have the nap more or less at the same time in a steady place. And we were sort of going with the flow, and yeah. He would sleep, but it would be in the car or it would be in the stroller. It would never be in his crib.
Right, you'd have the routine and then you're like, but we have to be across town, get there by one. So we're going to put him in the car. And then you just blew up, you know, 6 weeks of momentum.
Torched it completely. And so she gave us this sort of very basic system and to just do this. And then with respect to sleep training at night, it was like, there's kind of three ways to do it. They go from easy, medium to hard. And the hard is on you listening to your kid cry. And it's like, you know, that they work. You just have to stick to them. And when you do, you end up with a kid who understands that they have to self-soothe and they sleep to 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. And you're into a cycle that is dependable for all of you. And that's the thing that we had sort of deferred on that and suffered as a consequence.
Yeah. I mean, I think what the sleep thing really does, and it's probably a metaphor for all sorts of things with kids where it's like, you're hurting that it sounds like they're hurting, but by indulging that, you're actually hurting them more because you're depriving them of the ability to learn how to sleep. So we have the looker at Emergo, like struggle and I emerge. It's sleeping is kind of we have this challenge going. If people haven't seen it, you can see it in the Daily Dad store. But like by not wanting them to cry or be hurt for even 5 seconds, you are depriving them of this precious thing they need, sleep. But most of all, you're depriving them of the ability to sleep and self-soothe and do the thing. And you are hurting them so much more than whatever they're feeling in that moment.
And on top of it, you're teaching them a counterproductive strategy, which is that if I scream loud and long enough, mommy and daddy will come in.
Yes, exactly.
So you're losing on both sides.
Totally. The other thing I learned, and this is somewhat of a contradiction of what I just said, though, is like, okay, so neither of my kids have been particularly good sleepers. And again, probably 75% our fault, 20% bad luck, 5% them torturing us, and it's their fault. the other thing that I did try to remind myself, like, you know, let's say it's like another night and I'm just laying there waiting for him to go to sleep, or, you know, just you're going through the whole thing, is like, as awful as it is, what's so awful about it? Like, yeah, you're a little sleep deprived, but like, you're also just like spending lots of time with each other. Like the punishment is that I have to go in there and sleep next to my son. Like I could think of a lot worse things to have to endure, you know? So I would try to remind myself, like, even the wake ups, like in the middle of the night, or, you know, even the early mornings, and then you're like groggy or whatever, you're like, this is also wonderful and it's a gift, and I'm not going to resent that circumstances have conspired to force me to spend time with the thing/person I like spending lots of time with.
I mean, that's what prevented us, or I don't even think prevent is the right word. That is what made reaching out to a sleep consultant not seem that urgent. Like, the worst part about it is he'd wake up at 1:30 and he would sleep on my chest in his comfy little rocking chair for an hour and a half. Like, sign me up.
Totally. Totally. And then, like, you know, there's some nights where like you like put him to bed and it's just like, you're like, this is when they're a little older, and then you're like, this is just not happening. It's just obvious it's not happening. And it's not like a fighting thing, like they're in pain or whatever. It's just like, it's not happening. They're just like, whatever. And then they'll come out and you'll spend like an hour together doing whatever. Like I have a lot of memories of like Sunday nights or Monday nights where, like, let's say it was the kid wouldn't sleep and it's like, all right, you want to just come watch football on the couch? And it's like, they're like, you know, you're like, oh, this is like a special, like, you'll probably remember that memory more than, you know, like things you specifically sought out. Cause it goes to the Jerry Seinfeld sort of garbage time, quality time thing. And you're just like, look, this is not only not the worst, it may be the best.
Yeah. And I think not only are those the memories that you as the parent are going to hold on to, it's going to be the things that imprint themselves on your child as well. They're not going to think when they're 18, it's like, oh, my dad was so great at setting up a system for us. That's not what they're going to think. They're going to remember the things that felt close and present and connected.
Yeah, I'm so glad we had a disciplined sleep system and I slept through the night starting at 6 weeks old. Like, they'll have no recollection of that whatsoever.
No. And we have to remember that, I think, as they get older and as we get older and maybe a little more tired. Like, there is an upside to that. And it's totally the connection.
The last thing I would say too is, like, don't compare yourself to other people. Assume pretty much everyone else is lying, or like got dealt an extremely lucky hand, and just like deal with your own situation as your own unique situation. Right.
Yeah, like, it's funny. Will has been actually, he's taken to the sleep training very well. And we were telling our babysitter and she's like, don't tell anybody about that because they're going to hate you. But your kid took to it as quickly as he did.
Yeah. Cause it's like, look, it's every kid is different. Every kid has a unique, you're like, the person's like, oh, it's perfect. And then it's like, oh, it sucks for us. And then it's like, oh, it turns out your kid had chronic ear infections and it had nothing to do with you. You know, like, it's just like, just let it be what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be the last thing, which is like, also when you feel like you're doing everything right and it's still not working, you probably are doing everything right and there's something else going on. And so, like, you can also get in this cycle where you're like, but it should be happening. And it's like, you're right, it should be. So instead of like, it's ironic that your instinct is to like get mad at them or get mad at yourself and not go, could there be something else interfering? You know, like for like, whenever things would sort of fall apart, it was like, ah, ear infection, ah, sick, you know, ah, sleep regression, you know, whatever it is. It's like, and if you blow past, like, we would feel so guilty because it was like, oh man, we were like forcing this. And like, they were trying to tell us, no, this is like, this, something is seriously wrong. this isn't me just not wanting to sleep. Something is actually wrong.
Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of people forget, especially first-time parents and just younger people who are used to a certain style of, they're used to filtering the world through their own experience, and they've never had this before. And it's like, look, your kid is always communicating with you. They're just in the ways that a small child is able to communicate, whether it's crying or silence or, you know, lack of sleep. That is, they are communicating something. Your job is to figure out what they're saying.
Yeah, you're not listening.
Yeah. 100%.
All right, man. This was awesome. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
That is my Tempest Fugit Challenge coin, which I have here on my desk and I play with, although not usually when I'm recording. Tempest Fugit is this idea that time flies. Your kids grow up very fast. We must not take the present for granted. We must seize it while we have it. Hold it tightly. Hold them tightly. Tempest Fugit just means time flies in Latin, and it is the slogan of our first ever Daily Dad Challenge coin, and it's a daily reminder of the most important piece of parenting advice there is, which is that you must be present, you must not take this moment for granted, you must remember that all time can be quality time. It says Tempest Fugit on the front, it's got an hourglass, and then on the back it says all time is quality time, and they grow up so fast. These are just really important reminders I wanted to have as a parent. I have it here sitting on my desk. I carry it with me. I'm going to get another one for the car. I am holding in my hands the very first one off the mint we use in Minneapolis. They've been in business since 1882. It's a wonderful family-owned business that makes not just the Daily Dad coins, but all the coins we make over at Daily Stoic as well. You can check out this new coin. I hope you'll check it out. Again, it's a wonderful everyday carry at dailydad.com/store. If you want to support me, if you want to support Daily Dad, this is a way to do that. And I think it's just a really wonderful, important reminder. I hope you check it out. We just launched it. Go to dailydad.com/store.